on the programme last night, there was an explosive discussion on Mark Durkan's new plan to license bonfires. Around the table were the community worker, Phil Hamilton, the SDLP's Claire Hannah, and UKIP's Henry Riley. I asked community worker Phil Hamilton if he thought the size of some of the bonfires was out of order.
Well, it's not out of order. What we need to do is we need to go into the communities, and what we need to do, rather than enforcement, Stephen, what we need to do is support community relations.
Has it worked?
Well, Stephen, it is.
Have been asked to build bonfires responsibly. What's wrong with licensing bonfires?
Well, I think
so. There's rules and regulations that everybody has to respect.
Well, Stephen, if you look at the vast majority of bonfires, they run extremely well. A lot of these bonfires, at times, don't get any funding. They work with the statutory agencies. I would be completely naive to turn around and say
them.
Well, I think it's what we need to do, first of all, is we need to give resources and support to community people like myself.
Grants.
Stephen, this is not about funding.
Bribe them with money.
No, this is not about funding. And to turn around and say that this is about money is demonisation. This is not. What we're talking about is community safety.
Don't start that now. Don't start to tell me, because this is what sometimes happens, that I'm demonising a community, and then no doubt there'll be tweets coming in, but Stephen, you are from above the Shagger Road and Archibald. All this nonsense, right? And here's why it's nonsense. I'm talking on behalf of both communities tonight. If you're living beside one of these things, think, Claire.
I think Mark Edge is showing leadership in this and trying to address it and address it sensitively before the summer and it becomes a big problem. It's, you know, he is respecting people's traditions. People
he's
can
in
have
la la land, isn't he?
He's not,
and
in
he knows it.
But he wants to enforce the rule of law. If you look at those, about 2/3 of bonfires in Belfast are in the bonfire management programme, so they do get support.
Let's get into the real world of Northern Ireland. So you're supporting your mate here, your party colleague, Mark H. Durkan, that wants a licensing structure for bonfires. So next year, there's a bonfire that's built too big. And under this licensing term, that's then breaking the code. Well, who's going to go out from the council? And they titter along in their wee van and they get out and they say, I'm sorry. While Mark Durkan, by the way, is sitting in the house or getting his ministerial car up to Stormont, someone on July the 11th from a council, a lowly paid worker, is going to have to go out and
saying,
say, sorry, they get the measurement tape out, that's a metre too high, take it down. That's why you and your minister are an absolute la la la.
If you say that his life would be a threat, of the council workers couldn't safely go in.
But
who are you implying?
Well, they couldn't safely go in.
Well, why wouldn't
they?
So basically, are we going to say we'll let the paramilitaries or whoever else is doing this run the show? At the moment, as I say, 2/3 of bonfires are in a bonfire management programme.
Don't be going down this road.
Sorry, Phil, I didn't interrupt you. Come on, now let's go.
Not every bonfire. I just want to make that point. Is not run by paramilitaries.
No, it's absolutely not. And like I say, 2/3 of them run reasonably smoothly, and they're not. But a lot of them, people are burnt in bonfires in the middle of the road. The road is being closed. There's areas where, for a third of the year,
said the way
kids
we prefer
can't
no
use
bonfires.
The green because there's glass.
Your minister doesn't want any bonfires in Northern Ireland.
But he's accepting that some people have a strong attachment to
that's very
and
good
he's
of
trying
him.
To facilitate that. So he's trying to facilitate that. And, you know, they do get funding, but basically it's saying you will adhere to the rule of law.
Look, Stephen, can I just say to Claire, your colleague, whenever he made that announcement, I just thought to myself, how far outside reality are these people? Because if you look at Twitter, look at Facebook, when that announcement was made, it was immediately interpreted as a disproportionate attack on the Protestant Unionist loyalist community.
But people because, need to interpret
it
rationally.
It was, and if that type of thing is enforced in future, do you know all you'll do? You'll have more of these bonfires all over the place.
OK, Lydia up here in the back, go ahead. Blonde hair, go ahead.
I'm actually take offence by you turning around and saying it's paramilitaries. I'm not a paramilitary, I'm no paramilitary organisation. I've been doing the bonfire for this past 8 or 9 years. Now, I'm not running the bonfire. The bonfire belongs to the community. We're there to help and advise.
You wouldn't support huge bonfires, would you?
We went from Castlereagh into Belfast. We are part of the bonfire management programme. And believe me, I have never in my life... 19 bonfires from the PUL community are all in breach in July. 11 from the nationalist community and not one is in breach. When we seen in the Short Strand they had the Help the Heroes flag on their bonfire, they had the Union flag. You tell me, how can they, why were they not in breach? when they could do the July bonfires for the community.
I certainly didn't say you were paramilitary, but Stephen implied that if somebody went in to enforce a bonfire, that their life would be at risk. So I was just trying to draw out what he meant by that.
You said,
here's exactly what I mean about it.
No.
Do you want to go up and start bringing down a bonfire then next 11th of July?
No, I don't. And I'm saying, but my point is, I'm saying you're in the bonfire management program and it works, and I support that, and I support the funding in it.
You see, one of those very, very tall bonfires, which endanger the community around them. Why should there not be a licensing structure around that?
Each and every individual bonfire, what they do in their communities is up to their communities.
It's not!
Wait, no, you're not listening.
I am listening.
We're actually, what I would be part of, we actually adhere, we have, where the fire and rescue service come out, we have rescue
people?
We don't do tires, we don't do anything.
But what about those people who
don't? The councils has actually taken that away.
Billy, tell her to listen to me.
They're the ones that are actually destroying it in our communities. No, totally wrong.
Well, that's some of last night's TV show. Mark Cosgrove, Councillor Mark Cosgrove with us today. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning to you. And the former Alliance MLA, Seamus Close, is still with us today. Morning to you, Seamus.
Morning again, Stephen.
Good morning. Would this work, Mark, licensing a bonfire and expecting people to adhere to it, and then the what if they don't? Do we really expect enforcement to happen?
No, and I think I didn't see your programme last night. You've actually cheered me up. I've been stuck in the city airport for 5 hours this morning because of fog. So, no, I don't think it would work. I think you described it rightly as La La Land. We do have to work and try and improve every aspect of what we do. But listen, there's been massive, massive improvements over the last 30, 40 years. Whenever I think back and listen to Claire's comment there about some being on the road, they all used to be on the road. The road used to get burnt. There used to be tyres on every one of them. There used to be paramilitary displays at a lot of them. So we have moved on massively. And I think that we need to recognise that in the last 30, 40 years, it's chalk and cheese compared to what we used to
have. So is that the Ulster Unionist Party's position, Mark, that if Mark H. Durkin were to attempt to legislate for the licensing of bonfires, you would block it?
I think we would oppose it because we don't think it's real. I think the terms that you made there, you know, about somebody going out and measuring a bonfire, there's no point legislating if you can't enforce the legislation because it isn't workable on the ground. That's one of the current difficulties that we have with regards to the environmental side of bonfires, with regards to the policing and the fire brigade. All the agencies work within people here in the bonfire protocol, but what do you do when somebody does go outside it? You have to talk to them, you have to persuade them that it's not in the best interest of their community to have, for example, something that's too big beside houses, etc., etc.
Seamus?
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark, referring to 30 or 40 years ago. He reminded me that 30, 40 years ago, I wrote to the then minister. We were under direct rule, and Richard Needham was the minister. And I made a few suggestions that the necessary legislation be enacted to approve bonfire sites in localities where the desire for them existed, that local authorities be empowered to provide those sites and ensure that they're kept as tidy as possible, and that it be an enforceable offence to have bonfires on unapproved sites. What reply did I get from Richard Needham? Including other things, he said that you will understand, however, that on occasions an element of risk to those removing bonfire material may exist, etc., etc. So that posed the question in my mind over 30 years ago, and after having listened to the programme last night, it posed the question again. Is it right that in the 21st century, people believe that they're entitled to put families at risk, property at risk, fire personnel, police, etc., in order to promote what they refer to as culture? And is it right then that taxpayers should have to pick up the tab? Is it right that authority, the wide spectrum of authority, either turns a blind eye or yields
Mark?
To threats that are real or imaginary? Because bonfires don't just happen. They're built. They grow to heights of 30 to 40 feet. They cover hundreds of square feet of land, but yet nobody sees anything until it's too late. And then they say, oh, we've got to consult.
All right. Let's let Mark respond to this.
Of course, it's not right that people's property and lives are put at risk. And any that has happened, then I think there's been a very good wide community response. And of course, ultimately, if somebody's threatening to burn somebody's house down, that does become a matter for the law enforcement agencies. I don't know anyone who would support any such bonfires that are like that. But as I say, we do have to keep this completely in perspective. There are far less bonfires than there ever was.
Yes, but there's dangerous ones, Mark, and there were people involved in dangerous ones who refused to move it.
Yeah,
the bottom line is this. If I were to build a bonfire, if you were to build one, all right, and put tyres on it in your back garden, you'd be prosecuted. Why should it be any different? Because people at a certain time of year say it's cultural.
Because for the last several hundred years, that has been something that people from both communities actually at different times of the year do. So we've got to live in the real world. And I think it's regulating that activity, which, let's be honest, I know your programme tends to be very Belfast-centric, but throughout Northern Ireland, there are bonfire protocols that councils put in place. They fund 11th night activities. Again, there's a big misconception about them actually funding bonfires themselves, because, as you say, those activities are not legal because you can't burn stuff, and me and you would be prosecuted if we decided to build a fire today outside the BBC or, in my case, my business. So I think we've got to recognise, living in the real world, that it is part of our culture. I actually love the 11th night, and most of the events that I go to in my own constituency on the 11th are brilliantly run. They're fantastic family
events. Let's say we're set at home. Here's Jamie in Malile. Morning, Jamie.
Hello, Stephen. How are you this morning? Yeah. You all right after Lon Lunatic jumping on you last night?
I'm exhausted by that. That woman exhausted me.
On a lighter note.
That woman absolutely exhausted me last night.
Well, she gave you a run for your money anyway.
Unbelievable. Did you see her jumping on top of me?
Sure, you loved it.
I've never had a woman jumping on top of me like that in my life.
That's on a lighter note.
That's a different story.
It's October here regarding bonfires. Must be a short news story. But I'll give you a wee insight as to some things that people don't mention. I live in a wee village. We have a tiny small bonfire on a bit of waste ground. We refuse to take a single penny funding, okay?
Why?
Because we do it ourselves. We don't need public money, Stephen. We do it ourselves. The children do it ourselves, and the community rallies round, pays for bouncy castles, face painters, food. Give it out, all free. Not a penny taken, okay? Not a single bit of trouble. By 1 o'clock, place is empty. Now, it's very simple here, Stephen. Nationalists can bring whatever legislation they want in. Because I'll tell you now, me and probably thousands of people like me in this country will continue on as normal.
Well, do you know what? You've got to abide by the law, though, don't you?
Stephen, I understand that, but this is a matter of principle. If that means a breach of some nationalist agenda, well, so be it. This is not a monster bonfire. Okay. This is a tiny thing for children with fun, okay?
I'm not too sure if nationalist agenda is the point. We're talking here about people complaining about fumes and their homes being in danger and safety and tyres being burnt on bonfires.
Stephen, have you seen the bonfire I'm talking about? You're mentioning tyres. Have you seen the bonfire I'm talking about?
No, I have not. I haven't been in Malile in my life.
Why are you mentioning tyres?
A long time ago. Let me bring in Jan and Ballygown. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, you're talking about bonfires and tyres and God knows what all. 35 years ago, well, that's just an average of how long it is. We had a bonfire. It was always erected in the centre of the village in Ballygown. Yes. And I'll tell you something now. It was something else on tyres and everything else on. People's windows were cracked and God knows what. Now, the road, you're talking about roads and these people getting so much money after the bonfires are moved. Well, I can tell you something. That's all them years ago. And our village is still the same way as it was then.
Holes. Let me see if I can squeeze in George in the Shankill. Last call of the day.
Holes.
Morning, George.
Everywhere. Holes everywhere. Morning. That's what I want to get sorted out.
Stephen, this, never in a million years is this going to work. 90% of bonfires, as you know from being a young boy living up there, 90% of them are known as pop-up bonfires, but they only appear on the 10th or 11th day where kids have collected a bit of wood. So it's only the major bonfires.
Nonsense!
That's not nonsense.
It takes weeks to build some of those bonfires.
The big ones.
Yes.
90% of bonfires.
It's the big ones we're talking about. We're not talking about the tiddly-piddly ones. We're talking about the big ones.
after them all. You know what I mean? Stephen, here's a challenge for you. Here's a challenge for you. People's complaining about bonfires in October. There's been rebuilding the murals and other things within the Greater Shankill area and other loyalist areas in the last couple of months. Do a programme among West Belfast Cultural Athletics.
George.
And George.
And
other things.
George.
In the Shankill. Do a programme.
George.
Yes.
I'm tired today.
I know you are, mate, but go ahead. Let's come up to Shankill or send a reporter up and see what they're rebranding.
I'll send Vinny up.
What's going on the last couple of months? And do a positive.
Bye bye. Thank you, George. I'm tired today.